This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we continue at dhikr, just a few acknowledgements and a few messages of thanks. Number one, to my parents, my father and mother, Jazahumullahu khairan. They have been attending this series from the very beginning to the end of it. This is very humbling. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from them and to prolong their lives upon goodness and upon taqwa and piety. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to also bestow His mercy upon those parents who have passed away. Second one is for our brother, mashallah, brother Umar Ismail here, Jazahullahu khairan. From the very beginning of the course, we called him, we told him, can you come and record? With no hesitation, wallah, he came and he recorded from the very beginning until, mashallah, he's here. Didn't hesitate, he was on time. And I know probably he doesn't like something like this, but this is a right that we owe him. So we say, Jazakallahu khairan. And normalize this kind of behavior and practice. Whenever someone does something good, we say to them, Jazakum Allahu khaira. Acknowledge it, right? And the one that does the good, he shouldn't be waiting for an appreciation. The one that's doing good does it for Allah's sake. Whether someone thanked him or not, he's moving on. He's doing for Allah's sake. But then it becomes a right upon us that we show gratitude to those who do good. Fa Allah yajzikal khair ya Amr. وجزاكم الله خيرا for the rest of you for your attendance. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward you all. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to benefit from that which we have heard. We're going to, بإذن الله تعالى, as we promised, continue this dhikr today. We reached قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in where he said, اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني. We ended last lesson yesterday with the word khalaqtani, and we explored and discovered the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-khaliq, and the attribute of Allah azza wa jal, al-khalq, creation. Now we're up to wa ana abduka, and I've told you that Allahumma anta rabbi is the general sense that He's Allah azza wa jal, is our Lord. More specifically, khalaqtani, and we focused on that. Now Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. There is no Lord worthy of worship but you. More specifically, what's my relationship with this testimony? What is my relationship with this testimony? La ilaha illa ant. The relationship is wa ana abduk. Wa ana abduka. I am your slave. I am your slave is a confirmation. Is the job of la ilaha illa ant. Idhan wa ana abduk. I am your slave. Since you just acknowledged khalaqtani, since you just acknowledged that He is the one who created you and continues to create within you, therefore, you should devote all your worship to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is the only one who created you, the only one who provides for you, the only one who gives you life, the only one who takes your life. He is the only one who decrees your affairs. Therefore, He is the only one you should pray to. See the logic? He's the only one you should make dua to. He's the only one you should worship. He's the only one you should sacrifice to. He's the only one you should take an oath by. Today many Muslims commit shirk. Today many Muslims would say, Ana abduka. And a lot of it is, there's a lot of deficiency in this claim of Ana abduk. Today Muslims are committing kufr and shirk, and they do not realize, such as making an oath and taking an oath by other than Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man halafa bighayri Allah faqad ashrak. Anyone who takes an oath by other than Allah has committed shirk. This is the minor shirk. And as a result, to cleanse that, you must say, La ilaha illallah. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, the expiation of that is to say, La ilaha illallah. But when you're taking an oath by other than Allah, taking an oath by your life, by your parents' life, by your grandparents' life as they're in their grave. In Arabic, they'll say wahyati or wahyat jaddi, for example. All of this is a form of shirk. When you're engaging in this stuff, wa ana abduk, there is deficiency in it. For we need to perfect wa ana abduk. This is the claim that's happening here. Many Muslims tawaf around the graves. What tawaf is a worship that should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many Muslims are sacrificing for other than Allah. And this is a worship that should be only done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many Muslims uphold and accept and submit to laws and legislations that are contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for mankind. Oh, this is a form of shirk, because law and legislation only belongs to Allah. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ, that the right of law and legislation only belongs to Allah. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And then he said, أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. He commanded that none shall be worshipped except him. You see how the word ibadah comes straight after the fact that Allah mentions he's the one who makes the law and legislates, meaning the lawmaking and the legislation is a ibadah. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a believer, you should only accept and submit and uphold the laws and the legislations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that goes against Allah's law, this is not accepted in Islam. It is not allowed for a believer to submit to it and to accept it and to uphold it and to honor it. Such as we have abortion laws today, homosexuality laws, assisted suicide laws, alcohol laws, gambling laws, polygamy laws, all of this, all of these laws, we take guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning this matter. We only take guidance from Allah azza wa jal concerning these matters. And you know, subhanAllah, all these laws that come from time to time surprise us. Sometimes something is illegal, overnight it becomes legal. That's how the laws are. This is man-made law. That's how it goes from illegal to legal. And then it could go from legal to illegal whenever they decide, whenever they like. So where did this come from? You know why people got involved in this stuff of legislating laws and putting what they like and removing what they like? You know where it all came from? It came from one evil statement. This is what I believe. It came from all from one evil statement. And that is the statement of my body, my choice. You know this statement, my body, my choice. Why am I sharing this with you? My body, my choice goes against khalaqtani wa ana abduk. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk. Inna lillah. It's not your body. You do not own it. You have been given this body of yours as a responsibility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even because they said it's my body, my choice, therefore we'll legislate according to what we like. Because if it's mine, whatever I desire, whatever I have in mind, I will do. This is what my body, my choice means. Therefore, a believer is supposed to be careful when you're saying, خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ, meaning I belong to you. You're the one who legislates for me. You're the one who tells me what to do and tells me what to avoid. This is proper wa ana abduk. And this is supposed to be something that is upheld. And as for the laws that keep society in peace and safety and security, then of course the believer is supposed to follow this. So long as nothing is going against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Traffic laws and speeding and speed limits and all of this should be abided by, should be followed, because it was put in place for the goodness and the safety and the security of people. And this is one of the objectives of an Islam, one of the objectives of a Sharia. So things like that must be adhered to. Otherwise, everything else that goes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, in the heart, we do not submit to it. We do not submit to it in the heart. Now, so look, the one who devotes any worship to other than Allah is pretty much saying that he has a Lord besides Allah. This is it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, and this is a hadith Qudsi, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, I am in no need of any partners. أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك. I don't need a partner. Allah created alone, and He gives life alone, and everything alone. So He doesn't need a partner. Whoever performs a deed in which he associates besides me another, I abandon him and his partner. Go find your reward with your partner that you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how he can benefit you on the day of judgment. See how he can save you from the punishment on the day of judgment. Idhan, wa ana abduk, meaning everything of the worships belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest of the wrongdoings is a shirk. This is known as adlamu dhulm. Allah azza wa jalla said, inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Wa shirk, any engagement with a shirk, is putting deficiency in your statement of ana abduk. So you need to understand what ana abduk means and uphold this in your life. Subhanallah. Then imagine a mother. She gave birth to a child. She looked after him for many years. And then this child decides to abandon the mother and go and refer to some other woman as his mother. Wouldn't that upset his mother and anger his mother? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs the highest of example. Allah Azza wa Jalla is angry with the one that turns away from him. I created you. I looked after you. I provided for you. I gave you life. I'll take your life. I've done everything for you. And you turn away and worship other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. For this angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, you should note that it doesn't harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in no way, shape or form. This is, you're only harming yourself when a person turns to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ. You notice there are two things. Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention of two things in the Quran. Listen to this very carefully so you can understand how خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ comes together. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-A'raf, He says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. To Him belongs creation, and to Him belongs the command. See these two things? They always attach together. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. To Him belongs the creation. And also, since the creation belongs to Him, then He's the one who commands the way He wants. So to Him belongs the command as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ. I am your Lord, فَعْبُدُونَ. That's His command to mankind. Since I am رَبُّكُمْ, since I'm the one who created you, and you acknowledge this with خَلَقْتَنِي, what's Allah's command? فَعْبُدُونَ. Worship me and worship me alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Worship your Lord, the one who created you. Most of the times in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal would tie between worshipping Him and the fact that He created us. And we said, توحيد الربوبية, which means what? That Allah created, provided, sustains, takes life, gives life, decrees all matters. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, these matters are a strong and a logical proof to why a person should submit his worship to Allah alone and no one else. That's the idea of خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا abduk. You cannot accept one and reject the other. You see, Iblis, he did say خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار. He acknowledged that Allah created him, but he did not obey Allah's command. He refused to make a sajda. As a result, he was cursed until the end of time. And then he's thrown in Jahannam for rejecting one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in that condition, he's not being abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important. Wa ana abduka. Tayyib. Now there's something here that al-ulama rahimahumullah mentioned. And this, the females need to make an understanding to this and make sure of this. Women, when it comes to wa ana abduk, they should say wa ana amatuk. Abd means a male slave of Allah. Amatuk means a female slave of Allah. And this is something that was authentically mentioned by Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu and a group of at-tabi'een rahimahumullah. Well, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that woman here and other places in where there is abduk, they should say wa ana amatuk. Well, Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah said that if a female was to say wa ana abduk, it's fine, but it is better for her to say wa ana amatuk. It is fine for her to say wa ana abduk because abd means a slave, and this could include male and female. But to be more precise, and to go with the authentic narrations of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and a group of at-tabi'een, then a woman would substitute wa ana abduk to saying wa khalaqtani wa ana amatuk, I am your female slave. Then wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata't, since you have acknowledged that you are a abd of Allah, since you just said that, now comes the commitment. What commitment are you making with Allah Azza wa Jal? You've raised your hand, you've acknowledged ana abduk. طيب, what's your commitment? What are you going to agree to with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَاسْتَطَعْتَ, and I am committed and steadfast upon your ahd, upon your agreement and your promise. So what is Allah's agreement that He took from mankind? What is the ahd and the wa'd? What's the agreement and what's the promise that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? العلماء رحمهم الله, they have a few opinions, two opinions, but they all go back to one thing. I'll share with you. Al-Ahd is what is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. At the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took all the people from the back of Adam alayhi salam, and we were like a dhar, like ants, and He dispersed them in front of Him. All of us were there as a soul. We were all there, the good and the bad, the righteous, the evil, everyone was there. Allah Azza wa Jal asked a question to everyone. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? And we all said, بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. We were all there. He said, yes, indeed, we bear witness to the fact that you are our Lord and we will worship you. This is the ahd. This is the contract. This is the agreement with Allah. You're saying in this dhikr, وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ, I will remain committed and steadfast and firm upon this covenant, upon this agreement and contract, that I will worship you and that you are my Lord. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ. This happened, but of course we cannot remember it. Not that you can't remember what you did 2 days ago. You're going to remember what happened years and years before you even came out of your mother. فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ recalls this story in the Qur'an, and He says, أَن تَقُولُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Don't you dare show up on the Day of Judgment and say, wallah, I was heedless, I had no clue about this story. Here, it's in the Qur'an. Read it, reflect and understand. This is the signature. This is what you signed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other meaning of al-ahd is something that we're reading 17 times at least a day. And that is, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is the agreement between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah Azza wa Jal, He says, every single time you pray your salat and you read Surah Al-Fatiha and you get to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, Allah would say to this slave, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي, this is between me and my slave. What does, يعني, this is the contract, this is the agreement between me and my slave. إِذَنْ وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ, العهد, the agreement, the pledge that we have with Allah Azza wa Jal is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ, we shall worship you and worship you alone, because إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ means you alone we worship. The fact that إِيَّاك came before نَعْبُدْ, it means you alone and no one else. And نَعْبُدْ is a present tense, meaning we will continuously worship you until when? حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, until certainty reaches you, which is death. Once you die, that covenant and that contract is over. And then on the Day of Judgment, you're taken to account for all that time there. So, وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ. So the idea of al-ahd is أَنَا عَبْدُكَ وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ. This is al-ahd. This is the contract. وَوَعْدِكَ. And I am also firm and committed upon وَعْدِكَ. Al-wa'd is the promise, meaning I have firm belief, and my belief is steadfast and it's strong concerning your promise to me. And the promise of Allah to His slave is that whoever upholds His ahd, if you fill your side of the contract and you are to worship Allah alone, the promise of Allah is the paradise. Is the paradise for the believer. So when you say, وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ, meaning, oh Allah, I am firm and I am absolutely 100% certain of your promise. I believe in your promise that you will give the paradise to the believers, those who uphold إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. Also the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ مَاتَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Anyone who dies having not committed any shirk enters the paradise. فإذا this is the wa'd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? This is a huge commitment. For you and I to sit now in the morning and in the evening every day saying wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dik. I am certain and I am adamant and I am firm upon my contract with you. I will worship you. Iyyaka na'budu, yes, 100%. This is a huge commitment. No one can say that he worships Allah the way he deserves. Would any one of us now say that I prayed Salat al-Isha 100% to what Allah wants? No one would dare to do this. So look how beautiful this is. Mastata'at. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at. You have been taught by Allah to condition your fulfillment of the contract to the best of your ability. Mastata'at. I will worship you to the best of my ability. To the best of my ability. Subhanallah. And this is exactly what Allah Azza wa Jal said. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal as best as you can. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسْعَهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal does not burden a soul beyond what it can carry. So that means worship Allah to the best of your ability. مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. Here there's an acknowledgement that, oh Allah, I have shortcomings concerning my worship. I will not be able to worship you 100% the way you deserve. No way, impossible. No one can do this. There will always be shortcomings and errors and mistakes in your worships. Like in your worship, either when you're standing in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal and you're getting affected, and even if you're crying, that worship isn't 100%. You can't say this is exactly what Allah Azza wa Jal deserves. Like even the angels. The angels that لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. Imagine this. The angels don't have a desire. And they do not disobey Allah in any command that He gives them. And on the Day of Judgment, they will say سُبْحَانَكْ مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ. This is the angels. They will say, perfection belongs to you, Allah. We did not worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. Allahu Akbar. Well, the angel, his whole job is to worship Allah. Nothing else. He doesn't disobey Allah a bit. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. They are in continuous tasbih day and night and they do not give up. لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. They do not get tired. And even then on the Day of Judgment, the first thing they will say, سُبْحَانَكْ. Perfection belongs to you, not to me. مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ. We did not worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. Allah, if mankind, all of them, spent a lifetime in sujood, it wouldn't be enough to worship him the way he deserves to be worshipped, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said in the hadith al-Qudsi, Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum kanu ala atqa qalbi rajulin wahidin minkum, ma zada thalika fi mulki shay'a. He said, my slaves, if the first and the last of you, and the jinn and the mankind of you, if all of you were upon the most righteous heart upon you. Who's the most righteous heart upon mankind? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning if all of us had the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if all of us had his heart, that wouldn't have increased in Allah's kingdom anything. You did not add in Allah's glory and honor anything. So he doesn't need it aslan, and you will not be able to do what he deserves. How beautiful is this to humble yourself as you're saying, وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. The word مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ is an announcement to the entire ummah. You'll never be able to worship Allah the way he deserves. العلماء رحمهم الله, they mentioned that this condition was mentioned because every person's abilities are different. You know, if you're healthy and you're able to stand and pray, then you must stand and pray your fard. If you sit down, your prayer is invalid. If there's someone that is disabled, I said healthy at the beginning, but opposite to disabled is non-disabled. So we don't say disabled and healthy, we say disabled and non-disabled. So if a person is non-disabled and he's able to stand, he must stand and pray. If he sits, it's invalid. Someone disabled that cannot stand, he's going to pray sitting, and his salat is valid, and he earns the same reward as the one who was able to stand. You see, مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ, to the best of my ability. We say this in this dhikr because everyone's abilities are different to others. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ. And there's something beautiful when it comes to the commands and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, listen to this carefully. Listen to the command and the prohibition. إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whenever I command you to do something, then do it to the best of your ability. وَإِنْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. And if I was to forbid you from something, keep away from it. He did not say keep away from it to the best of your ability. Why? Because when you're given a command, you will not be able to do it the way Allah deserves. So, mastata, to the best of your ability. Because you need to do work. And not everyone can do everything. And if you did something, it's not going to be perfect. But when it comes to the prohibitions, everyone can leave them. فَاجْتَنِبُوا. He did not say leave them to the best of your ability. La, because everyone can keep away from zina. You can keep away from alcohol. Everyone can keep away from drugs and from stealing and from murder and from all the major sins that we know about. Everyone can keep away from them. So keeping away from the prohibitions was not conditioned by to the best of my ability. You must keep away from them. And if you fell into the one of them, run back to Sayyidul Istighfar, seeking Allah's repentance and never intend to go back. So, وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ. Pray to the best of your ability. Fast to the best of your ability. Read أَذْكَارُ الصَّبَاحِ وَالْمَسَاءِ to the best of your ability. الْحَجْ to the best of your ability. Be grateful to Allah to the best of your ability. Be patient to the best of your ability. Have tawakkul in Allah to the best of your ability, and so on. And when you're saying this, وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ, we said, you're acknowledging that there are a lot of shortcomings, right? This is what you're acknowledging. And look what beautiful, look how beautiful this is. In this part, you're acknowledging that you have a lot of shortcomings and flaws concerning your worship. And these shortcomings, you want them wiped away, right? What's going to wipe them away? Sayyidul Istighfar. As you're reading Sayyidul Istighfar, be switched on. Understand what you're reading. Connect with what you're reading. You're saying, oh Allah, I will worship you to the best of my ability. Meaning 100% I have shortcomings. I need them wiped away. This is why I'm reading Sayyidul Istighfar right now. Subhanallah. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. I seek your protection from the evil of what I have done and what I will continue to do and what is written for me in the future. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. All the evil words and the evil actions that you have done, you are seeking Allah's protection from them. Then in this part of the dua, there is an acknowledgement that you are committing sins. You are committing shar, evil, whether words or actions or emotions of the heart that you're displaying out in your hands and in your words, such as maybe you got jealousy in here. So as a result, it manifests on your tongue, or arrogance, and it manifests in your limbs. So, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتَ. I'm seeking your protection from the evils of what I have done. Because if you don't seek Allah's protection from the evils of what you have done, then you better know that sins have consequences and they're going to come at you. They will follow you. All problems in life are because of sins and the evils of what we have done. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Any musibah, any calamity that hits you, it's because of what your hands has done. It's because of your sins. It's because of your evils and your transgression. وعلي رضي الله عنه said, ما نزل بلاء إلا بذنب. Not a single calamity would come down upon a person in his health, wealth, in his family, in his children, in whatever it is, except because of a sin that he done. وما رفع إلا بتوبة. And it will only be removed, the sin and its consequence will only be removed if such a person engages in a tawbah. وسيد الاستغفار is the head words concerning at-tawbah. Why was a dhanb sin? Why was it called dhanb? You see, the word dhanb, it comes from dhanab. It comes from tail. Dhanab means tail, the tail of the animal. You see, when the animal is running around, his tail's with him. It goes with him wherever he goes. So the idea of a dhanb is that when a person commits it, it follows him. The consequences of his sin follows him like the tail follows an animal. It'll go with you wherever you are. And you will feel its consequences. You'll see the sin in your life. You'll see its consequences in your physical life, in your spiritual life. You'll see it in your wealth, in your health, in your children, in your spouse. Some of us salaf would say, إِنِّي لَعَصِ اللَّهِ فَأَرَى أَثَرَ مَعْصِيَتِي فِي إِمْرَأَتِي وَدَابَّتِي. He said, I would sin against Allah and I would see the effect, the consequence of my sin in the manners of my ride and in the manners of my wife. He'd see it. He'd come out and his ride is not working. Masal, his donkey or his camel, whatever it is, it's not moving. He sees an effect of the sin. And these people were humble enough to connect their sins to calamities that happen in life. Today, the millions of calamities that come down upon people, they're offended. They're offended if you say, Akhi, this is because of sins. Tub ila Allah Azza wa Jalla. How can you say this? Isn't it a sign that Allah loves me? What does this have to do with this? But the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves you, He will punish you for your sins so that you wake up and you return back to Him. This is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for a person. If He was to send a calamity upon him because of his sins, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that you wake up and you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something, subhanAllah, people have become so sensitive that if you say, Ya Akhi Allah, that the calamities are because of sins, he feels irritated. Really, you don't have sins in your life. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِ. We're going to say, وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِ. Now we're saying here, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتِ. The believer needs to humble himself. Any calamity, it's because of a sin. It is because of a sin. You look back into your life and see what you have done. Al-ulama were able. They were able to look at calamities in their life and tie them to sins. That is the very first thing that a believer should be doing. When you do that, you're on a correct path in terms of accepting the meanings of this dua. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن يَسْبِقُونَ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Did the people assume that they can get away? He said, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Those who committed السيئات, the bad deeds, did they assume أَن يَسْبِقُونَ? Did they assume they can get away with it? Did they assume that Allah would be heedless about it and forget about it? سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. What a horrible thought they had about Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Allah Azza wa Jal knows about the sin. And you cannot get rid of this sin except with at-tawbah ila Allah wal-istighfar. We are Sayyidul Istighfar, we are saying it. SubhanAllah. Look at the son of Nuh when he said to his father, سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He said to his father, no, I'm going to go up to a mountain. Over there I'll be saved from this water that's going to drown the people as a result of their sin. I'll be saved. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. Very simple. He was from among those who drowned. Gone. Finished. SubhanAllah. فَإِذَنْ the sins have consequences. There's no running away from them. The son of Nuh tried to run away. It followed him. Even if it took for water to reach a mountain, Allah Azza wa Jal would do this. No running away. The only thing you can do is, as Allah says about Sahaba, وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. They were certain that there is no escape from Allah except to Allah. There is no escape from Allah except to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run to Allah Azza wa Jal. In this life, whenever you're terrified of something, you always run away from it. But when you are afraid of Allah, He is the only one who you will run towards. The more you fear Him, the more you run towards Him. This is the idea. This is the idea of Sayyidul Istighfar. So the sins that have been accumulating in your life, you run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Run to Sayyidul Istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتِ. And there's something beautiful here. And that is that you are acknowledging that sins are shar. They are evil. This is beautiful. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتِ. Wallah, a believer is upon goodness so long as he sees the sins evil. You're still good. Your fitrah is still intact. You're still sane in your mind and in your intellect. So long as you can continue to see sins as something evil. If you still can recognize alcohol as evil, alhamdulillah. If you can recognize murder as evil, alhamdulillah. If you recognize homosexuality as evil, alhamdulillah. The dead heart is the one who begins to play with the evils. The dead heart is a heart that would say to the evil as being something good, and to the good as being something evil. This is what we're learning in this dua. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. Yes, oh Allah, I admit that I committed sins, and I committed hundreds and hundreds of sins. But oh Allah, I admit before you that they are shar, they are evil, they are horrible, they are wicked. They will bring me misery to life because there's no goodness to shar. Shar is bad. Shar is harm. In this dhikr, you are acknowledging this fact. And this is the beautiful thing about this dua. It keeps your heart alive, because you will fall into sin, but never ever fall into the sin of looking at something evil as being something good. This is a terrible sin. This is more of a sin than committing the sin itself. For this is what we need to be saved of, and this is what we're supposed to be reflecting as we say, أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. I condemn what I've done, and it is evil. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء لك بذنبي. We're coming towards the end. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي. أبوء. أبوء means I acknowledge. أبوء. أبوء means رجع. Primarily, in linguistically, it means to return. And acknowledging a matter is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you acknowledge Allah's favors upon you, that means you have returned and ascribed them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, أبوء لك بنعمتك علي. After you have asked Allah to protect you from the evils that you have done, protect me from their consequences. Protect me. I don't want to be questioned on the day of judgment about them. I don't want to be suffering calamities and pains because of my sins. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. I'm seeking your protection from the evil that I've done. Next thing, أبوء لك بنعمتك علي. I acknowledge to you. أبوء لك. I acknowledge to you alone your favors upon me. نعمتك علي. And this here, it's instilling, see that the previous past instilled fear of Allah in you. So you run to Allah. This part is instilling love for Allah within you. Ni'matik. You are being forced to remember Allah's favors and blessings upon you. Alay. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي. These are your blessings that are upon me, that were special for me. You favored me with these blessings. Who are you? But even then Allah Azza wa Jal would give you these blessings. How many of the blessings do we have upon us? How many? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count and try to enumerate the amount of blessings Allah has given you, لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You will not be able to reach a final number. How much gratitude do we owe Allah Azza wa Jal? But we said, مَسْتَطَعْتَ. To the best of our ability, we're going to thank Allah. وَالْعُلَمَاءَ رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ, they used to say, if you want to know the amount of Allah's blessings upon you, just do one thing. If you still have your eyes, just close your eyes for a second. And just feel like I lost this. Bas. Just this organ here that weighs 30 grams. Just close it and walk around. Khalas, walk around. Just blindfold yourself and walk around for a day. You're going to realize what ni'matullahi azza wa jal upon you really means. Therefore, when you get to this part of a dua, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْ. I acknowledge to you your favors upon me. Look at the closeness, the relationship that you have with Allah with these words, لَكَ and عَلَيْ. To you, and I'm acknowledging the favors upon me. Subhanallah. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْ. How many? We have the blessing of Iman, the best of the blessings, safety, security, health, wealth, the blessing of family, friends and children, and the house and the car and your clothing and everything that's happening in your organs and your system, and all of these are blessings. Wallah, we cannot count them. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Any blessing, anything of a blessing you have in your life, it came from Allah Azza wa Jal. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْهِ. And you know what's beautiful? Is that when you say and when you acknowledge Allah's favor upon you, then this is a reason for why Allah would increase His blessings for you. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you were to thank Allah, Allah would increase you in His blessings. And what are you doing? As you're sitting in the morning and in the evening reading this dhikr, you are thanking Allah for His blessings. When you say, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْهِ. And acknowledging Allah's blessings is done in three ways. To really properly, because remember, you need to say this dua with firm belief and certainty. To acknowledge Allah's favors upon you is done in three ways. Acknowledge it from the heart, acknowledge it on the tongue, such as saying these words, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْهِ. And you do not use the blessing Allah gave you in disobedience. If you use a blessing in disobedience, there is deficiency in your gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. Your gratitude to Allah is incomplete. You cannot use a blessing Allah gave you in His disobedience. If you do, you need to rush Sayyidul Istighfar and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْهِ. Imagine someone reading this. How can he develop arrogance after he reads this dhikr? How can such a person rebel against Allah Azza wa Jal when he's reading this dhikr every morning and every evening? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي. There are two narrations. The narration عند الإمام البخاري رحمه الله is وَأَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي. Other narrations, وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. But it's best that you stick to the original one, which is أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي. Because there are some apps that do not mention this narration. They mention وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. And there are people that have memorized it like this, أَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. And the word لَكَ is very important, you're going to see. وَأَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي. Put that لَكَ in there. Now, طيب, أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي, meaning, and I acknowledge to you, لَكَ, to you, ذَنْبِي, my sins. Why am I telling you this is important? لَكَ is teaching us that do not acknowledge your sins to none but Allah. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي. I'm acknowledging my sins to you alone. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافَى إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرُونَ. All my nation will be forgiven and protected from their sins except those who publicize their sins. Those who announce their sins to the world and shared them on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and whatever it is, and in messages and so on, these people are not given the grand and general forgiveness that Allah gives people on the Day of Judgment, the believers that covered their sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment brings every servant close to Him and He holds him to account. And in this account, Allah Azza wa Jal would make you acknowledge all your sins. He'll say, my slave, didn't you do such and such on such and such day? And you did such and such on such and such day? And He would remind him of all his sins and transgression. Until the person that's standing, يَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ قَدْ هَلَكَ, he would most definitely be certain that he is doomed and destroyed. No way I'll come out of this saved. Then at the end, Allah would say to him, سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. I covered all these crimes for you in this worldly life. وَالْيَوْمَ أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ. And today is the day I will forgive you. Allahu Akbar. Al-ulama, rahimahum Allah, they say, to earn this special prize, you have to have covered your sins in this life. Because the hadith said, I covered them for you in this life. So keep them covered. I mean, if you expose them, how? It won't be true that you covered them. You expose them. As a result, you do not earn the forgiveness. This is how it's understood. They are forgiven under the condition that you keep them covered. Naam. So, أَبُوءُ لَكَ. And in this part of the dua, there is an acknowledgement that you have committed sins against Allah and that I am acknowledging them to you. And so within the hadith, there is an acknowledgement that I did sins, and yes, they are sins. Don't justify. Don't run away. If you've done a sin, do not justify it. This is what Iblis tried to do. I am better than him and you created me from... And he was cursed. Be like our father Adam, alayhi salam, and Hawa, when they fell into the sin, acknowledge. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. أبوء لك بذنبي. And ذنبي here, العلماء رحمهم الله said, could refer to two things. It could refer to the sins that you and I do day and night. And it could also refer to the shortcomings concerning our gratitude to Allah. Because shortcomings concerning our gratitude to Allah is a sin. And since we just said before this part, أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي, he said, I acknowledge, oh Allah, your favors upon me, and I acknowledge my sins, meaning my shortcomings concerning the gratitude I'm supposed to have for these blessings that you bestowed upon me. Right? So it can يعني cater for these two meanings. We don't have to choose one over the other. We say that أبوء لك بذنبي, when you're acknowledging your sin to Allah Azza wa Jal, you are acknowledging the sins that you have committed, the prohibitions, and you're also acknowledging your shortcomings concerning gratitude to the ni'am that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. And there is a relationship between these two things. That every sin you commit is through a blessing Allah gave you. It is. Because you're only going to sin through your eyes, or through your tongue, or through your ears, or your hands, or your feet. And all these are blessings that Allah gave you. It is impossible to commit a sin without or through something else. Every sin is committed with one of the blessings that Allah has given you. That's the relationship between both of them. This is why definitely we have shortcomings concerning our gratitude to Allah for the blessings that He has given us. Because we are disobeying Allah through the blessings that He has given us. For this is why it's important that you focus on this part of a dua. وَأَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. والعلماء رحمهم الله, they said, يعني الإمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, he said that the slave, his breaths, his inhale and exhale should be two things. يعني his entire life should be two things, because you only inhale and exhale. So your life should be revolving around two things. One breath in where you praise Allah Azza wa Jal, and the other breath in where you are seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. And we are alternating between these two matters. Allah Azza wa Jal either gives us a new blessing, He grants us, and that requires gratitude, or we're committing a sin with that blessing, and that requires istighfar. Wassalaf rahimahum Allah, they used to say, إِنِّي أُصْبِحُ بَيْنَ نِعْمَةٍ وَذَنْبٍ. I wake up every morning and I'm between two things, a blessing and a sin. أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُحْدِثَ لِلنِّعْمَةِ شُكْرًا. I want to be grateful to Allah for the blessing. وَلِلذَّنْبِ اسْتِغْفَارًا. And I want to seek forgiveness because of the sin. والعلماء رحمهم الله, they said, when you know these two matters, blessings and sins, that's when a person's Islam and Iman becomes upright and it begins to elevate into high levels of Iman. That's when a person begins to humble himself before Allah. That's when pride and arrogance is removed from the heart. And this is the stage in which the person begins to perfect his worship to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is very important to recognize these two things. And they are coming right next to each other in this dhikr. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي. النعمة والذنب. النعمة, أنت, this is your life. We're between a ni'ma that Allah gives and a sin that we do. So we need shukr here and we need istighfar here. And what best? What better than سيد الاستغفار is bringing both of them together and telling you say it every morning and say it every evening. فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. As a result. See this fa here? Meaning, I am not seeking your forgiveness until I have acknowledged everything of the past. This fa necessitates that what I'm saying only comes after what I have said. You understand? The fa, faghfir li, the fa necessitates that what I'm about to seek and ask, oh Allah, it's only coming from me after I have acknowledged all this stuff that I have just said. Very important to realize this. Fa. فَغْفِرْ لِي. Beautiful. There's a beautiful benefit here. So you've just acknowledged. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي. I acknowledge my sin, so forgive me. beautiful benefit. Whoever, listen to this, this is a principle in Islam. It is a law. Whoever acknowledges his sin, no matter what sin it was, whoever says, I am a sinner, I transgressed, I committed wrong, and then he seeks Allah's forgiveness, Allah would forgive him. This is a principle. And this is a promise that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made in a long hadith, in where he said, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا اَعْتَرَفَ بِذَنْبِهِ ثُمَّ تَابْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. If the slave was to acknowledge and admit his sin, then, then he repents and seeks Allah's forgiveness, Allah will most definitely accept him. He'll accept his tawbah and he'll forgive him. Allahu Akbar. And this is in Sayyidul Istighfar, subhanallah. So the idea is acknowledgement first and then seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And that's exactly what we mentioned Adam alayhi salam and Hawa did. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves by coming near that tree and tasting from it. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And if you do not bestow your forgiveness and your mercy upon us, we will surely be from among the losers. لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That's Adam saying that. Imagine us. Wallahi, if Allah Azza wa Jal does not bestow His mercy and forgiveness upon us, wallahi, we are all in loss. In serious loss. You need to understand. فَغْفِرْ لِي. Subhanallah. And on the other side, not admitting the sin, then the sin will never be forgiven. You must admit the sin and then seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Faghfirli. Faghfirli means forgive me. Wipe away my sins. Remove the consequences. I don't want to be asked about them on the day of judgment. I don't want to be punished for them in the grave. And I don't want to be punished for them in the hellfire. This is what اغفرلي means. Why complete wiping? I don't want anything to do with them. فاغفرلي. You know, اغفر والمغفرة, it comes from the word المغفر. والمغفر is actually the helmet that is made of metal that is worn by the soldier. This here in Arabic, it's called المغفر. It comes from the word غفر المغفرة. What does that mean? You see, when the soldier is wearing a metal helmet, it gives him cover and protection from the hundreds of arrows and the swords and whatever that is coming. As though the sins that you commit, their consequences are like arrows. They are like arrows being thrown at you and swords being, you know, put in your face. Arrows coming one after the other. وَإِنْتَ your helmet is you seeking Allah's forgiveness. So long as you are living a lifestyle of seeking Allah's forgiveness, you have a shield that you're wearing on your head and on your body, and the sins are coming, but Allah Azza wa Jal removes the consequences of them. He removes them for you so that you don't feel anything. Now you're protected and you're covered. Bismillah al-Ghafoor, by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Ghafoor, the one who forgives. It's very important to understand this. And when you say faghfir li, you need to be in the correct emotion that is supposed to be in the heart, is regret. You're saying on your tongue, فَغْفِرْ لِي. What's happening here? Here there needs to be regret. The emotion of regret connects with the word فَغْفِرْ لِي. Because the greatest condition of a tawbah is what? Regret. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, التَوْبَةُ نَدَامَةُ. That a tawbah is all about regret. If regret is missing, a tawbah is false. It is all about regret. And acknowledging the sin and so on is part of regret. So what do you regret? Regret this. Regret disobeying Allah. This is what you're regretting. I shouldn't have disobeyed Allah. I shouldn't have crossed that limit. I shouldn't. Who am I? Who am I to disobey Al-Khaliq? Then you regret this when you say faghfirli. You regret disobeying Allah with the blessing that He gave you. I should have been grateful to the eyes He gave me. Yet I used them to satisfy a desire that I had within me. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتُ. How horrible is that which I did? فَغْفِرْ لِي. Regret needs to be turned on. Regret the fact that you disobeyed Allah through a blessing that He gave you. And then regret the fact that you did the sin while knowing Allah Azza wa Jal can see you. And you feed if people saw you and you committed this sin and you knew Allah Azza wa Jal saw you. And it is Allah who's going to hold you to account. And even if the people saw you, they were never going to hold you to account. They couldn't have done that anyway. So you regret. How did I do this? While all along I knew that Allah Azza wa Jal saw me. And this doesn't make you a hypocrite. Sometimes people say, yani with this fact, I knew that Allah saw me and I committed a sin and I was scared of people seeing me. Is that hypocrisy? It's not hypocrisy. This is, in fact, if you can feel this and you have this regret, alhamdulillah, the heart is alive. You have the positive regret. You have the correct regret because you're going to fall into the sin. But you need to know how to deal with the sin. It's not about committing the sin. You'll commit it for sure. It's about what are you going to do after the sin? You're going to come out regretting what you had done. You're going to come out from the sin going higher in your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. What's going to happen? Well, you're going to allow the shaitan to come and tell you, what a hypocrite you are. And so then it's going to drag you back into the sin. Such a person fails and he loses. But this is why you need to be sane and careful with what you're doing. فَغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And since we just said that no one will hold you to account except Allah, and no one truly sees you committing a sin except Allah, therefore, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. No one can forgive sins except you, because you saw it, you know about it, you know the reason behind it, you know everything about my sin. Therefore, no one can properly forgive it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you say, فَغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. There is an acknowledgement that no one forgives except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something in the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about al-muttaqeen, the righteous believers. He said, the righteous believers, إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, whenever they commit a major sin or a sin, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they wrong themselves with minor sins, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ, they remember Allah Azza wa Jal with istighfar, with tawbah, with al-dhikr, with dua, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, they rush to seeking Allah's forgiveness. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and who besides Allah would forgive sins? For that's, this part of the dua is coming from an ayah in the Qur'an. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And you see, subhanAllah, how beautiful this is, that this dhikr combined between two major matters. Now we're doing our concluding remarks. This dhikr combined between two major matters, and that is, listen carefully, at-tawheed wal-istighfar, tawheed and seeking Allah's forgiveness. And you see these two things, tawheed of course at the beginning, Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani, wa ana abduk, wa ana ala ahdika wa ahdika mastata'at. All this is tawheed. And the istighfar is at the end, faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. These two things, you'll always see them in the Qur'an come together. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Learn, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal would say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. This ayah was revealed in Al-Madinah. After 13 years of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, Allah is telling him, say and learn it. And then seek forgiveness for your sins. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says about Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the belly of the whale, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa Allah, which is a tawheed part, and the forgiveness part is to say, inni kuntu min al-zalimin, acknowledging his sin. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in Surah Ash-Shura, Fastaqimu ilayh, stand upright for Allah, meaning adhere to Allah's commands and be firm upon Allah's commands, all of them. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ, and seek His forgiveness. Because no matter how strong you stand in your worship, there's always shortcomings that need istighfar. Right? That's the idea. Sayyidul istighfar combines between these two things. And you know, there are four types of people that meet Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. You can pretty much say mankind is like this. Those that would meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is the relevance, why I'm telling you this is important here. Al-tawheed wal-istighfar, these two things. Why are they important? This is going to determine the end result of people on the Day of Judgment. Listen, bonus, you're given this in Sayyidul Istighfar. There are people that would come up on the Day of Judgment with الشرك الأكبر. Such people, قَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَيَعْسْكَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ to save us. They are thrown in the fire forever. There are people that come up on the Day of Judgment, no shirk akbar, but they have shirkun asghar. And there are two opinions to al-ulama. Some say that those who come on the Day of Judgment with shirkun asghar, there are many types of shirkun asghar. Whoever comes up on the Day of Judgment with that, some say he's under the will of Allah. If Allah punishes him, he punishes him. But a stronger opinion suggests that the one who comes with shirkun asghar is also thrown in the fire for a time, for a limited time. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal does not forgive for anyone to commit shirk with him. And the ayah did not differentiate between the minor and major shirk. This is an opinion among al-ulama. So who comes with major shirk, thrown in the fire forever. Who comes with minor shirk will be in the fire for a time before he is removed. The one who comes on the Day of Judgment with no minor or major, فَهَذَا his لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ was perfect. But he comes with the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment, with minor, major sins that he has not repented from. Such a person is تحت المشيئة. He's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't know. Maybe Allah punishes him. Maybe he spares him punishment. We have no clue. That is left for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Anything besides a shirk, Allah would forgive for whoever he wants. Say Allah Azza wa Jal establishes his control forever he wants. And then there's one category left. And that is, those who avoided a shirk, minor and major. And of course they committed minor and major sins, but they repented from them before their death. That group does not see the hellfire. That group is spared from the punishment of the fire. And this is why we're saying these two matters are important. And this Sayyidul Istighfar combines between At-Tawheed wal Istighfar. At-Tawheed clears you from the minor and major shirk. At-Tawheed slices all the minor and major shirk that is in a person's life. It removes it all. Wal Istighfar removes all the minor and major sins. Nothing left. Enter the paradise. بِغَيْرِ عَذَابٍ وَبِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we're coming to the last part of this dua. We finished the dua, but now the reward for it. Listen carefully. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ النَّهَارِ مُوقِنًا بِهَا فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِي فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Listen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says it in an-nahar, and he is certain in every single word of it and in the promise of Allah that is about to come, and he dies that day before the evening, he is from the people of the paradise. And whoever says it min al-layl, in the night, and he's certain about its meanings and the promise, and he dies before the morning, he is from the people of the paradise. Listen very carefully. Some ulama, they said this dhikr is not bound and it's not limited to adhkar al-sabah wal-masa'. So some ulama, they said this is not adhkar al-sabah wal-masa'. This dhikr has more time than sabah wal-masa'. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever says it من النهار, and النهار is from sunrise to sunset. This is a bigger window than adhkar al-sabah. Whoever says it during an-nahar, during the day. So if you did not say it in the morning, you say it before dhuhr, after dhuhr, before asr, after asr, just before maghrib, this is all an-nahar. If you say it in an-nahar, and you were to die before al-masa, before sunset, this person enters the paradise. And whoever says it min al-layl, at night, and the night begins from after sunset, until the morning, until Fajr Adhan. This is the night. This is longer than the Masa' time. Whoever says it during the night 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 4:30. This al-Fajr hasn't come in yet. If you say it at night and you died before Adhan al-Fajr, such a person enters the paradise. But why then the majority of ulama would put this dhikr in Adhkar al-Sabahi wal-Masa'? Why did they do this? Because no one knows when he's going to die. So they said it's better for you to read it the very first thing in the morning and read it the very first thing in the afternoon so that you have your day covered and your night covered. This is why they put it in Adhkar al-Sabahi al-Masa', so that you can rush to say it. And there's something beautiful here. Al-Mannawi, in his book Faydul Qadir, he said something beautiful. Listen to this. Perhaps we're ending with this. He said, whoever says it with certainty enters the paradise. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, the people of the paradise. But then he said, what about if someone did not say it during the day or didn't say it at night, and he died that day and he died that night? If a person died upon La ilaha illallah, if a believer dies, doesn't he enter the paradise as well? Yes, of course. So what's the difference between someone that says it and he's promised the paradise and someone that doesn't say it and he died a believer? We also say he enters the paradise. He said, listen to what he said. He said, أي ممن استحق دخولها مع السابقين الأولين أو بغير سبق عذاب وإلا فكل مؤمن يدخل وإن لم يقلها. He says, the virtue that is given to the one who said it and died on that day is that he enters the paradise with no punishment and no accountability. He enters with those who enter first in the paradise. And the one who is a believer and dies not saying it, that is a different case. He enters the paradise eventually, but we've got no clue what's happening from then until he enters. Even this is the idea that this reward gives extra, as opposed to a person dying upon iman without saying this in his day and in his night. For we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us goodness. We ask Allah azza wa jal to accept from us, to bestow His mercy and His blessing upon us. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.